Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm going to be speaking about the election in the United States and elections in general and government in general, and how God views elections, how God views civil government. And so this is a pertinent message for us here in America. As all of you know, have just seen the results of an election, but we need to pray for our elected leaders, not only our president-elect, but all of our leaders, our local leaders, our state leaders, our senators, congressmen. We need to pray for them. This is a very troubling time in America's history, but it can also be a great time of opportunity for America if we just take advantage of the opportunity, seize the moment, turn back to the Lord and seek His will, seek His guidance. I know that many of us are troubled by what we see happening in the streets as a result of the election, but I can tell you that if we turn to the Lord, if we seek His face, God will give His wisdom. He will give us guidance and instruction. He'll give us peace, and this nation can be led by the Lord. This nation can be directed by the wisdom of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray to me, turn from their wicked ways, the Lord says, I will hear their prayer from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And so God wants to heal our land. He wants to bless this nation. He already has blessed this nation. This nation was founded upon the principles of the Ten Commandments and godly wisdom. And so I know God has great things in store for this nation. He has great blessings in store for this nation, and we just need to turn to Him and seek His guidance and seek His will, not only at the times of elections, but each and every day we need to seek His will, and each and every day we need to seek His wisdom, and God will lead us in the path of righteousness. God will lead us down that path of wisdom so we can not only be blessed here in the United States, but be a blessing to people all over the world as they look to the United States for guidance. Well, I'm going to start with scripture from Romans chapter 13. If you have your Bible there, Romans chapter 13, which is a very important scripture when discussing government and the role of civil authorities and how God views civil authorities. And let me just start by saying God is a sovereign God. He's sovereign over every aspect of your life, every aspect of my life, every aspect of every nation. And I just want to read a little clip here from Dake's Annotated Reference Bible regarding the providence or the sovereignty of God. And keep this in mind as we think about the daily events here in America or whatever nation you're in, whatever state you're in. Think about this providence of God, the sovereignty of God over the affairs of man. The providence of God is the care, preservation, and government that God exercises over all things He has created in order that they may accomplish the ends for which they were created. It is the infinite care God takes for His universe, from the numbering of each hair of each head and the falling of each sparrow to the unfailing upholding of all the vast universe by His own power. It is that eternal power which is at work, which precludes all fortune, luck, and chance. And so God was aware of the issues and the concerns, the circumstances of the election here in the United States. He's issued dreams and visions to people regarding the election. He's issued prophetic words through the Holy Spirit regarding this election, and those who were in counsel and in tune with the Lord picked up on that and received that counsel, received that prophetic vision. I myself received a dream regarding the election back in the middle of the summer when I was in Kenya. And so God has a role for each and every person to play in every nation, and He works through civil authorities, He works through civil government to establish order and reduce chaos and anarchy in the nations. And Romans 13 takes this up specifically, and this is Paul talking to the Romans. He says in Romans 13:1 that let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so Paul tells the Romans that every authority that has been placed over them And likewise here in America, every authority that has been placed over us, whether it's a city councilman, the mayor, the local police, the highway patrol, the state representatives, the state governor, the United States senators, all of these authorities, the president, all of these authorities have been placed over us so that there will be order in society and that anarchy and chaos and mayhem does not rule. And we look at some of the things going on in America today and we see that there's a spirit of lawlessness that is loose in the country. There's a spirit of lawlessness that has been unleashed. And there's powers and principalities sitting over this nation, as there is over other nations, that encourage lawlessness, that encourage disrespect for authority, that encourage lashing out at those who have been placed in authority over us, policemen and local law enforcement officers. And so God wants to bring every person in submission to the local authorities. God is sovereign, and these authorities have been placed over us by God. They exist and are appointed by God. In verse 2 in chapter 13, God is a God of order, of good. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And so God will enforce his rule of order on people. Some people will end up in jail. Some people will end up dead because they've gotten hurt out in riots or in different places. Some people will end up scarred for life and have blemishes on their, not only their police record, but on their physical bodies. And they are bringing judgment on themselves when they resist the order and the ordinance of God. And verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? Then do what is good, and you will have praise for the same. And so what Paul is saying here is, if you want to sleep well at night, if you want to have a clean conscience, he says, do your best to abide by the rules and the law and order of society. Do your best to keep the law. Do your best to, by all means, be obedient to the authorities. If you have a situation arise where you are in conflict with the authorities, or where you cross paths with the authorities and there's contention or there's anger, do your best, Paul says, to abide by the will of the authorities. And if you do that, you will be bringing blessings upon yourself. You'll be bringing righteousness upon yourself, and you will not be bringing the judgment of God and the judgment of authorities on yourself. And I think we can all see that in our own lives. I've had situations where I wanted to lash out at authorities and get mad and get angry and throw a fit. But there's times when God says, just cool it, just relax, and I'll take care of it. And so that's what I have learned to do, is to accept the will of the civil authorities. And in so doing, God says that you are accepting his will when you abide by the will of the civil authorities. We have peaceful methods to change the laws here in this nation. We have ways to change the Constitution. It is not easily done to change the Constitution, and that was the will of our founding fathers, that it would not be a document that is easily changed. We have ways to bring our grievances before the courts. We have ways to bring our grievances before the civil authorities. And so that is the way God has designed in this nation to operate. And for the most part, it operates very well that way. And so that is God's will, is that we go through channels, that we submit to the civil authorities, we submit to the courts, we submit to the law. And when we do that, then it brings peace and order to those around us and to those who are submitting. Verse 4, chapter 13, for he, the civil authority, is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And so Paul tells us that the civil authority is actually a minister of God. He is actually performing his function and his job, his duties, in behalf of God in bringing order to the society, and so we need to honor that, we need to respect that, we need to submit to that and accept that. We're not always going to agree with the decisions that are made. We're not always going to agree with every politician or every person that is placed in authority over us. But in order to respect the office, in order to accept that, we have to say that, God, you are sovereign. You know what is best for us. And then if you have disagreements and grievances, then that they be taken through the proper channels, that they be dealt with in ways that are peaceful, where other people don't get injured, where we ourselves don't get injured. And that is the way a civil society should operate. After being in Africa for many years, I've seen many situations where people take the law into their own hands, and vigilante groups or groups that are violent take the law into their own hands and chop people up with machetes or hang people or get rough and violent with people in physical ways. Beloved, that is not God's will. It is not God's desire for societies to operate that way. It is His will that we take things through proper channels, and in this country, we're so blessed to be able to take things through proper channels. We're so blessed to be able to voice our opinions at the ballot box. We have elections every 2 years, and so we're so blessed to be able to say, this is my will, this is my desire to place this person as a proxy to speak my opinion, to speak what I believe. And so we're so blessed here in America to be able to do that. And so God says, when you submit to the civil authorities, that He is actually God's minister to you, and He does not bear the sword in vain. In other words, God says, I've given Him the sword, I've given Him the authority to put you in prison, I've given Him the authority to arrest you, to put you in handcuffs, to fine you, or whatever the situation may call for. But God says, I've given Him an authority because He does not bear the sword in vain. He carries the sword of the Lord on my behalf because He is a minister on my behalf. And so God says, don't worry if you're doing good, that you will not be in trouble, that you will have a clear conscience. But if you're doing evil, then expect the wrath of the civil authority and expect the wrath of God on you because you are doing evil. Well, in Psalm 2, turn in your Bible there to Psalm 2, we see here a psalm that speaks about the nations and how God is sovereign over all the nations. He's sovereign over every elected official or appointed official or an official that is placed in authority. He's sovereign over them. And God says here in Psalm 2 that the nations will always be trying to break away from His authority, from His righteousness, from His rule. And so we see that in the world. The nations are always trying to break away. Lawless men and women are always trying to take over nations. Lawless men and women are always trying to subvert the will of God in nations. And God says here in Psalm 2 that it is His will that His Son, Jesus, inherit the nations. In other words, the Son of God come to be known and come to rule and reign in every nation. And you say, well, that conflicts with secular thought. Yes, it does. It conflicts with secular thought because we have this concept in America that especially in the last 20 years has been propagated here, and that is that there should be a secular life here, and there should be a religious life, that there should be a separation of church and state. There should be a separation of religion and state. But David says in Psalm 2 in the scripture that it is God's will that Jesus inherit all of the nations, that His inheritance be given to Him. Well, we know that isn't going to be completed. It isn't going to be fulfilled in its totality until the very last days and when Jesus receives His inheritance in full measure. But we want to do everything we can as believers, as people who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We want to do everything that we can in our power to see that Jesus receives His inheritance here today, this very day. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that Jesus would receive His inheritance this day here in America and in every nation of the earth. And so whatever it is, beloved, that God has called you to do in the body of Christ, whatever it is that God has given you as your destiny, see to it that you're busy in your destiny. See to it that you're busy in your calling. Get about the Lord's work. Occupy until he comes. Get busy spreading the gospel, the good news of the gospel. Get busy sharing the good news of the kingdom, and let people know that the kingdom of God is at hand, and that God's will is that his will be done on earth as he has decreed it in heaven. And so we're going to look here at Psalm 2, and this is the decree that God has decreed in heaven. King David wrote this. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. And so God is speaking to Jesus and he's saying, the kings of the earth are always trying to break the bonds and break the cords and separate themselves from us and exalt themselves above us, exalt themselves above the rule of law, exalt themselves above our desire for the kings. And so they say, let us break their bonds, let us break God's bonds off of us and cast away their cords. We want to be free. We want to be separate. We want to have the freedom to do whatever we please and not be bound by the restrictions of God's word, the restrictions of God's decrees. We want to be free and we want to be able to do what we want. That is the rebellious spirit of man that started in third chapter of Genesis, where the devil came to Eve and he said, God didn't really tell you to stay away from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, did he? He's a liar. He accused God of being a liar, and Eve bought into the lie and she said, hey, that sounds good. I'll go eat of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'll go eat of that fruit and maybe my eyes will be open and I can become like God. And so she bit into the fruit. She handed it to Adam. He bit into the fruit. And we know that was the beginning of the fall of man. That was the beginning of the rebellion of man against what was otherwise a eternal life of no sin, an eternal life of no rebellion. And so immediately then the fall of man brought all kinds of consequences to man, and it brought pain, it brought sickness, it brought sin, it brought rebellion, and it brought all of these things that we see as typical of man's existence here on this earth. And the only way that we can come out of that, the only way that we can rise above that, is to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm not saying you're going to be sinless. I'm not saying you can live a sinless life. What I am saying is that when you accept Jesus, then you start to see the hope and the possibility of eternal life with him. You start to see the hope and the possibility of the eternal life here on this earth as it has been declared in heaven. You start to see God's vision for man, and you start to get a grasp of God's vision for man, and you start to understand his will for your life, and his will for all people here on this earth is to be like Jesus and to be conformed. Those that he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his son Jesus Christ. And so God has predestined you to be conformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Not only you, but your spouse, your girlfriend, your mother, your father, your family, your children. He has predestined all of us to be conformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Well, back to Psalm 2, when the kings of the earth are mocking God and say, let's break away from God, let's do our own thing. God says in verse 4, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. And then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Verse 6, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Well, he's speaking here of Jesus Christ, his son. He set the king. King Jesus was set on his holy hill of Zion. King Jesus came as a baby. He came as a baby and he came to save sinners from their sin. He came to seek and save those who were lost, and I'm glad that he came. I hope you are too. He came to set us free from our sins, that we could know the righteousness of God. And so God set his son. He placed him here as a baby. He lived here 33 years on this earth. He died on the cross for you, beloved. He shed his precious blood for you so that you could know for all eternity the joy of being with your Savior Jesus Christ and God the Father, the Holy Spirit. You could know, even starting today, the day that you accept him, you could know that Jesus Christ died for you, that he shed his precious blood for you, that your sins are covered. If you repent of your sins, if you seek the Lord, you are covered, you are blessed, you are walking in righteousness, you are then walking in the destiny that God has for you and what he has called you to be here on this earth. And I praise God for that in my life. I hope you had that opportunity to accept Jesus. If you haven't, you can do it today. We'll take that up here in the end of the message. But I want you to know that God has set his king on the holy hill of Zion. Verse 7, I will declare the decree, says the Lord. The Lord has said to me, said to Jesus, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, says God, and I will give you, Jesus, the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. And you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, that is, kiss Jesus, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. And when his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are those who put their trust in him. And so the Lord is saying to the kings of the earth, humble yourselves before the king. The Lord is saying to the kings of the earth, bow down and worship the one true king, the one and only king who can save you from your sins, the one and only king who can set you free from your burden, from your stains that are on your soul. And the Lord says, bow down to this one, kiss the Son, and serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Well, beloved, Jesus Christ is coming back. He is the Son that we're instructed to kiss. He is the one that we want to bow down before. Yes, we have to also submit to local and civil authorities. We have to submit to the people that God places in government over us. But the one person, the sinless one that went to the cross, that man in his humanity, that died on the cross, that shed his precious blood for you. He is the one, ultimately, who is in charge of everything. He is the one that God has placed on the cross. He is the one that God has placed on his holy hill, Zion. And so when we submit to him, beloved, everything in your life will then be in order, and you will start to see the wisdom of God, and you will start to see the will of God as you survey the current events, as you survey your life and the family that God has given you. God will give peace and order, and he'll give you strength to live out your life and do it in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Well, as we look at the events and circumstances of this election and the things that are happening here in America, I want you to have a peace, to know that God is in control. He also knew that there would be chaos in the end days. He knew that there would be mayhem and people's love for each other would grow cold. This is a sign of the end times. This is a sign that the end is near. When you see everything start to break down in America, that used to be very orderly and very disciplined nation, now you're starting to see chaos and mayhem and all kinds of riots in the streets. I'm telling you, beloved, it's going to get worse instead of better. But for those of you who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, for those of you who have accepted Jesus and know that peace that comes with serving him, then you will have that peace, and others will come to you. Others will seek your counsel. Others will seek your wisdom, because you're going to have the peace that only God can give. You're going to have the wisdom that only God can give. And this is going to be a precious commodity in the chaos and the mayhem here in America in the days ahead. This is what is said in Matthew 24 when Jesus is talking about the end times. Chapter 24, verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, They will betray one another. They will hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, beloved, the love of many is growing cold. We're seeing that. The love of many has already grown cold, but it's nothing like what is coming. But the peace of Jesus Christ can be in your heart and in your mind, and the peace of Jesus Christ can let you sleep well at night and give you the joy of your salvation if you just submit to Him. If you've never done that, I ask you to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. Say, Lord, I want you to save me. I submit my heart to you. I confess of my sins. I repent of my sins. I ask you to wash me clean, to save me, to set me free from my past, from my present, from my sinful condition, that I can know your righteousness and that I can be with you for all eternity. If you pray that prayer, if you ask the Lord to come in and save you, He will be faithful and true to do that. Follow it up with Christian baptism, and you will be set free from your sinful condition. You will be set free to walk and enjoy the joy of your salvation. Well, God bless you today. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.